Okay, so I don't know if anybody this morning yet washed and benched, but if you did, you said the words V'abrischa shechasamtu v'vsareinu V'achayim chen v'chesed shechaynatonu V'abrischa shechasamtu v'vsareinu Torah and so on Chayim chen v'chesed shechaynatonu. And what we've been learning over the past few months is that the meaning of bris, the meaning of the Sefer Tzadik Od Yosef Chai, Bris is Chayim Chein V'Chesed Shechenatano. That unless a person is Machshiv, that relationship that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as not something that's part of his life, but that defines his life, that's that Bris, that connection that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Chaim Chein v'Chesed Shechein Antonu. That's life itself. That's life itself. It's not something which is extra. The whole distinction we were learning between Yaakov and Esav is this Nakuda. Remember that we were talking about how the Svarim teach us that the Midah of Yesod, of Bris Milah, of Yosef, of the Tzaddik is called Kol. We're talking a lot about that. Maybe Shem Baichai, maybe Kiva. Kol Yakar Ra'asa Eino Kol. Chof Lamed, 50. Gates of Bina, and so on. The opposite, Chalila. Tuma. Kol, Chof Lamed, 50, means that, whereas for a Jew, Zeh HaKol, Zeh Kol HaAdam, that connection is not something which is a part of life, but it is life itself. The opposite of that is Esav. Esav is the inyan of, like Haman said, Kol ze enenu shaveli. The whole inyan of Kol, of that ultimate purpose of life, is enenu shaveli. It's not worth anything to me. Kol ze enenu shaveli. The inyan of Esav is hine anochi holich lamus, is death. I'm going to die. So all I can ask for in my life, all I could hope for, and all I could expect, and all I could try to get is this moment of pleasure, which is exactly what happens when a person is nichshol in pegam habris. What's pegam habris? Pegam habris is that the person knows intellectually that there's something that his whole life is about, but the voice of Esav is kol zeh, that bigger picture of what life is for, and in a shaveli, it doesn't add up to this moment of hine anochi holech lamus. The rest of I don't care. But for this moment, this chai yishar is what I have. So the inyan of pegam habris, where the life energy and the life force and the vitality of a man is in his zera, is in his bris. The inyan of pegam habris is that a person is mezalzel be'etzem achayim. It's a pachad. We don't think about these things. We should. But we were talking a little bit about it by Shol Shittas, the inyan of achay behem. A person is mezalzel be'etzem achayim. Why would a person, let's say, look up to a politician, a celebrity, or some knacker, or some macher? And when it comes to people are learning all day, or Talmid Chachamim, he looks down on, he says negative things about. There's a very big difference between the celebrity and Lahavdol the Talmid Chacham. Ostama, Amcha Beis Yisrael, there's a huge difference. The difference is that this celebrity is from the world of Kol Zeh Enenu Shaveli. And your excitement of that celebrity, the person or that athlete, is an excitement over Chai Yishar, over that moment of thrill when the guy manages to get past a whole team of fellow mutants and murderers and to get into the end zone, at which point he starts jumping and howling and pounding his chest and carrying on, because he was able to carry the ball and he was able to get across and into the end zone. And that intense pleasure of watching this guy that's getting paid whatever $20 million to carry a ball into the end zone. That intense pleasure of his hatzlacha doing that is chayisha, is that pleasure of that moment, and your machshiv that moment, God forbid, akidekach, that people spend money and people go watch and people, not just for a little enjoyment, you know, people put up pictures and go, we have to put autographs because of that moment, that chayisha. And to be machshiv, we were learning Rabbeinu Yonah, this we've been learning the last 2 months, the meaning of what Rabbeinu Yonah says, how do we define a person by what he's machshiv? Are you machshiv chayisha, or are you machshiv chayi oila? That's the big question. That part of the man's body that's called the bris is the part of chiyus of life. It's that koch that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to bring life into the world. It's the koch hachai. It's the meaning of oid yosef chai. And mechiras yosef, we learned at the end before yontif, meant, and it still means, it meant then, that on their level, the brothers, not masik their greatness, but on their level, they sold this inyan of the tzaddik into Mitzrayim. Now, when you're machshiv, a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, or you're machshiv, a guy that sits and learns a yeshiva bachar, or in your day, that part of your day, even though you might only have an hour, but the part of your day that you feel is the most chashiv, it's not just something that I have on my schedule, but let's say I'm only able to learn for an hour a day. Okay, person has an hour, but that hour of your day, on them, without that hour, I can't live. Without that hour, my day is not a day. And if something goes wrong with that hour, and there's an interruption because of something with work or a kid or something, and you miss out on 15 minutes, you feel it wasn't the right day. I have to somehow get the 15 minutes back. And you look up to the tzaddik, and you look up to the rebbe, you look up to the rebbe, whatever it is, and you're machshiv anshei neshama. Why are you machshiv the tzaddik? You're not machshiv. You're not machshiv the tzaddik. No one's machshiv of Moshe Feinstein because he was able to carry a bull across a line. The machshiv of Moshe. And we're machshav the Chavos Chaim, the Chassam Sofer, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and all the tzaddikim, and all the time we're machshav them because we look up to what they're good at, not good at, what they're great at. We look up to that and say, well, that's life itself. That's he's not good at carrying a ball across a line. He's not good at taking a hockey stick and cutting off another person's head. He's good at life. He's successful at life itself. A person who's shomer habris is machshiv the neshama as life itself. He's machshiv that connection that he has with Kadosh Baruch Hu as life itself. Selling Yosef to Mitzrayim is not something that just happened thousands of years ago. Anytime that you and I make a bad decision regarding this inyan of kedushas habris, it's selling the koach of life into something which is very, very tiny and pathetic. Mitzrayim, of course, you know, means meitzar, right? Meitzar. It means you're selling Yosef to Mitzrayim. Yosef means, even the word Yosef means Tosefis. It means life. That's the Yosef itself. Yosef Hashem Aleichem Aleichem Al Bneich. And you're selling this koach of Yosef at Tzadik Weird to Mitzrayim. So the whole chiyus of who you are, you're pouring it into Chaye Shah, into this moment, which he spoke about a few weeks ago, that Reishis Goyim Amalek is the three letters. Reishis Goyim Amalek spells Rega, a moment, into this moment. And when you do that, the same way that the brothers handed over life itself, Yosef, to Egypt, to a narrow, disgusting place, when Chalila, when we're Poigim in the Bris, we're handing over that love of life, the definition of life itself, which is amazing, which is everything, which is kol. And we're handing that over where? To Mitzrayim. Into a narrow place. Whatever the narrow place is. Your whole life is work? That's Pekah Mabris. It's not as disgusting as... It's not as... as dramatic as the etzem ha'mais of being pagam the bris. But when a person's life is work, that's pagam ha'bris. That's how you look at that. And ad kedei kach, that your wife and your children are dying, even though you put them in the fanciest, most beautiful home, but in terms of a relationship, they don't have you at all. There's no shaykhis to you because of your deals and whatever it is that you're doing, which you always, of course, will say, I'm only doing this for you, I'm only doing this for you. Everything I do is for you. But then when you have a free moment, it's not for them at all. And they know that's not for them. But everything is, I'm doing this for you. You know, you're doing it for yourself because you see that this is the etzem achayim of your life, is to make a lot of money. That's the etzem achayim. And you're selling yourself into Mitzrayim. You're selling, it's pagam habris. It's pagam habris. When you look down upon Talmid Chachamim, when you make fun, chalila, of tzaddikim, Talmid Chachamim, it means that you don't see anshei neshama, people of the neshama, as being those who are truly, truly alive. Who are truly alive. You think of him, he sits all day in a Beis HaMedrash. When is he going to start living a little bit, to get outside? The weather's getting nice. Take off the thing from the barbecue. Get out there a little bit. He sits all day. Feinstein sits. No, he's not alive anymore. He's sitting all day. You want to go off and say, Rabbi, you have to live a little bit. You know? What kind of life is this? What kind of life is this? It's very, your life is so narrow. When was the last time you took a nice trip someplace? Why don't you go with the Rebbe and I'll buy you a ticket. Go to the Rebbe and take it to Hawaii a little bit. No, go see somebody over there by Waikiki Island or something, dancing in a grass skirt. Go someplace, have a good time. So Moshe Feinstein looked like that's just Moshe. Anybody see what you out of your mind? There's no bigger chias than I have than Bava Basim Bava Kam. There's no bigger chias than I have than Asher Yeshev Yisrael. So I'm going to go someplace. A person goes on vacation. I can suffer whether there's a minion in this place altogether. And then all kinds of shilas of what's going on in this place. But Chayishah, Esav said, Esav, Haman says, Kol Zeh in Enishavali. Kol Zeh, the whole Niv Kol in Enishavali. I want to have this pleasure, and I want to have it now, I want to have it in this moment. And therefore, you mezalzel nechshivas of life. When a person wastes his seed, lo aleinu, he's being mezalzel in the koach of life and what life is. He's being mezalzel in that. He's disrespecting life. That's the niv pagam habris. So it's on many, many levels. Selling yourself down to Mitzrayim. You don't have to wait for somebody to sell you. We sell ourselves all the time. You have the nicest brother in the world. You sell yourself to Mitzrayim. Your brother's fine having your home. You sell yourself to Mitzrayim. Whenever you sell yourself to some narrow definition of life, and that's what gives you a chias, that's what makes you excited. And in your head, you know that this is terrible. And you believe that there's a Gan Eden, there's a Gehenna. And in your head, you're saying, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible. Afal pichein, for this moment, I'll have this mechaya. This pleasure that I'm going to have for the moment, this release, this pleasure, this mechaya. So you sold yourself to Mitzrayim. That's called Pagam Habris. Selling oneself to Mitzrayim, to a narrow place of life, to a narrow definition of life, money, Yonim Arayis, Lo'aleinu. Selling oneself into a narrow place that's not life itself, that is not Machshiv Etzem Achai itself, what life really is, what the Tzaddik is, Ben Ish Chai, the Rav Pa'olam, Yosef HaTzaddik. That's called Pagam Habris. Now look at Reb Tzaddik. You got it. It was sent the second time. I think Moshe David sent that again. You had it before Yom Tov. It's Machshavei Schoritz. It makes it much, much easier if you take a look at and try to keep up with the Maariv Mekarmis, because it's much easier talking to Jews who have Maariv Mekarmis than people just have nice smiles. You understand? It's very good to learn inside. Especially when it comes to Reb Tzaddik. Reb Tzaddik is hard. And what he says over here is a tremendous yisod. It's not entirely new. We touched upon this around a year and a half ago. It was something we were learning about from the Maimer from Reb Motl, last year, a year and a half. But the Kohen here puts everything together in a very, very deep and important way. He's talking about probably one of the most one of the most historically significant, ruchnius dikli significant sentences in all of Shas. It's in the Darim Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. You see where it says Vesasan Zumila. So the Kohen here is talking about Purim. Purim is by Reb Tzadik is the biggest yontif, and he's going on about Purim a lot. And Lehudim Hayisaari V'Simcha V'Sasai. So Iris, Torah is Simchas Yantiv, and Sosin is what? Mila. Sosin is Bismila, right? Sosin is Mila. That means there's a very deep connection between what happened by Purim, meaning overcoming Haman, and the Kedushas Habris, Bismila. Because Vesosin, joy, however you translate that, all different words for Simcha, happiness, joy, but that Sosin is, Chazal tells us, is Zumila. Vesosin Zumila. So Tzaddik writes, Tzaddik is one of the most important sources that we have in all of Torah for this Indian, the sugi that we're in, of Kedushas Habris. He began to speak openly about it. By the earlier Tzaddikim, very, very much in Ramazim, very much in Ramazim, the whole Indian of Kedushas Habris was in Ramazim, with the exception of Rabbi Nachman. But by Rabbi Tzaddik and Rabbi Leibel Eger, you know, it was in the Medrash of Ishbitz. The tzaddikim there began to talk more openly. So the Sosan Zumila, is that you got it? Zel Toikev Kedushas Yisrael Shemileda. Sosan Zumila, and Reb Tzaddik says Bris Mila, that's our Sosan, that's our joy. Because Mila is the Toikev Kedushas Yisrael, is the strength. The strength of Kedushas Yisrael Shemileda, that we're born with. Obviously, women have this as well. How that is without the union of bris mila, that's to have a kedushas of bris without the union of mila, that's a very important subject. It's not for now. Zo toikev kedushas Yisrael shemileida hamavdil beinam la'amim. And there's the ikker distinction between a Jew, a Yid, and an Eina Yehudi, and a non-Jew. This union of kedushas of bris, of mila. And here's this, we learned this, Rav Motel brought down this Gemara when we did that Maimer a while back. Here's the Gemara. The Gemara says, he's talking about a person that he asks himself to somebody that he's not allowed to have any hanor from this person or that person. So one of the things the Gemara talks about is, I feel arle yisel nekroim mulim. It's talking about a person that says that he is not going to have any benefit from an oral. Or he's not going to have any benefit from somebody who's gemalt, who has a bris. So he doesn't say, I'm not having any benefit from a Jew or from a guy. He says, I'm not having any benefit from an oral. Or he says, I'm not going to have any benefit from a person who, in other words, I'm not having any benefit from somebody who's uncircumcised. Or he says, I'm not having any hanof from a person who is circumcised. And the Gemara says, a gevaldig chiddush. The Gemara says, then when he says, I'm not having hanof from somebody who's circumcised, that it still means you can't have hanof from a guy, because even if a guy medically, surgically, was circumcised, he's still called, what? An oral. Makes no difference what happened to him physically. So therefore, I feel ari yisel nekrilim olam, when it comes to a yid, if he says, I'm not going to have any hana from somebody who's gemalt, who has a bris, even a Jew who for whatever reason did not yet have or wasn't able to, he didn't want a bris, he's not able to have hana from him. Because even though this Jew never got a bris, he's still called nimol, gemalt. It's the opposite. A guy who had a bris is called an oral. A Jew who never had a bris is called a nimol. It defies logic completely. It's not the reality. The reality is that the guy has a bris and the Jew doesn't have a bris. He never got a bris. Because the reality of what happened physically is not what defines an Orel or a Nimol. It's not what defines the metaphysical, the true reality in Pnimius. That even Arli Yisrael, there he brings the Gemara in 65. Are you able to see it? I don't know if you can see it. Kainim Shani Nenel Arelim, Mutter Barli Yisrael. Also, if a person says, I'm not having any hanoah from somebody who's an Arel, he's Mutter Barli Yisrael. He's allowed to have hanoah from an Arli Yisrael, because a Jew, even though he never had a bris, he's called somebody that has a bris. And for also, but Mule have the Oid Chum, but he's not allowed to find out from what? From a guy who had a bris. Rashi says, the Bechlal Arelim, even if the guy has a bris, physically, he got himself circumcised, he's called an Oral. And the opposite, Shani Nen, Lemoylum, also Barli Yisrael, Bechlal Mule, man. Rashi says that even if a Jew never got circumcised, he's bechlalmal, he's gemalt. And even as far as the guy's concerned, even if this fellow, this guy had a circumcision, he's still called an oral. She'ein ha'or l'kruya el l'shem adekham shnamar ki kol ha'goyim areilam. Ki kol ha'goyim areilam. Makes no difference. Kol ha'goyim areilam. So Reb Tzadik looked back inside, he says, Haino afilim b'poyol loikain. Even if b'poyol, even though in reality this Jew never got a bris. Vafal pi shechata Yisrael hu. And the same thing is that even though a Jew has sinned and committed whatever sins he's committed, he's a Yisrael, he's a Jew. Mishor sho she'ena mishtana. Because the shorish of a Jew is that bris with Hashem, and it's Eino Mishtana. He could be poigim bebris, he damages, he injures, but he's still called a ben bris. He's still gemalt. Even though physically, ad kedekach, he's so far from, I'm not talking about a guy that couldn't get a bris. He didn't want a bris, chas v'shalom. I don't want a bris. I'm not interested. So he's so far, ad kedekach, that he didn't want even to have a bris. Mishor shayin mishtan. The shorish is not mishtan. Can't change. Mashain kain mulei umas olam. The opposite is by goyim who get circumcised. Nikroim areilam. Called areilam. What's the lema? Afilo nira mugdar. So even though to our eyes, it seems that this non-Jew, this guy, he's mugdar. In other words, he looks like a person who has a shaychus to shmiras bris. He has a bris mila. And bris mila means that he opted for this, let's say. It means that he wants to at least align himself with the Jewish people who have kedusha, who are holy. And this guy wants to align himself, he wants to place himself in that world. So afilo nira mugdar, even though to our eyes, he looks like a person that's mugdar, that he's made fences about himself. Notice that he's a person that seems to be someone that's connected to the bris. Eino elulifnim bepshitas talpai. This is only a show. It's only a show. Like the chazer, like the pig, which Esav is compared to a pig, that shows its simen, right? To say kilu, you could, it's, I'm tahar, right? Because it doesn't, it shows it's a split hoof. To say, you see, I'm also connected to Kedushas Yisrael. The chazal say that Esav is, not just talking about Esav, it's talking about all our elam. So even though this person is a very nice person, a very fine person, he wanted to get himself self-circumcised because he believes in it and he thinks it's a fine thing and he feels that people should be more mugdarim and so on. They should be more moral and they should be nice and they should behave and they shouldn't do bad things. And he tries to live a decent moral life and that's fine. It's very, very nice that he lives a decent moral life. But as far as being part of Kedushas Yisrael, of having Kedushas Yisrael, even though he's behaving much better than his friend, the Jew at work. This person is compared to a chazer who's holding out his a siman of tahara, and it's only a show and a demonstration, but it's not in the etzim, it's not in the pnimius. B'toychei ein kach, ein okay. B'toychei ein kei. The essence, the core, ein kei. It's not, this is not who he is, b'etzim. It's not who he is. It's not who he is. You can scream and yell that this is terrible, this is the, whatever you. This is the truth. Ein okay. There's somebody that left me somebody left in my stand an article yesterday about Shabbos. I don't know if there's anybody that was here. And how it was written by a person who's Shama Shabbos, a woman I never heard of her. My wife apparently had read some things of her, she's in charge of my reading list, so I gave it to her to read, and she said it's kedai to read, and I read it. And what it's about is that there's a tremendous, tremendous interest out there in the secular world in Shabbos. I mean, they call it Shabbat. But there's a tremendous interest in Shabbos. Because people are like, they've had it. They, you know, 7 days of technology, they're like, even in the veld, they feel like they're losing their minds. They can't do it anymore, and it's killing the world, and so there's a lot of people that say, well, the Jews have this thing that's called Shabbos. And it's a good thing to disconnect for 24 hours, a couple hours maybe, more, but for 24 hours at least, to in that way, with children and family and whatever, and life, and to disconnect. So a lot of Jews have shared with me over the last couple of years that it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, amazing thing. This article, this woman is clearly a Balas Tshuva. Her name is not a Jewish name. When she was single, now she's married to somebody whose name is Levi, but her name is Osgood. It's not a Jewish name.
That's good.
You heard of her?
I just said
Osgood.
Yeah.
So it's a good name, but it's not a Jewish name. Yeah. So, and it's a kicknish, you know, she doesn't, my wife says she doesn't look Jewish. She was looking up about her, the article is a very chashuv article. And I don't know how long she's been Shomeres Mitzvah. She's apparently, she writes for very big, like all these big magazines and newspapers. She's a chashuv person in terms of her kaychas to write, and she's Shomeres Mitzvah. I don't know to what extent, but she's Shomeres Mitzvah, because she was talking about how she keeps Shabbos. So maybe she's a Gioris, a Baal Shuva. I don't know. Didn't say, my wife didn't find that she's a Gioris, a Baal Shuva. But she's Shomeres Mitzvah. The article is a Gevaldik article. It's around like 12 pages. The article is basically saying that no matter how much you buy in, you, meaning the world, buys into this idea of Shabbat, it's not shaykh at all to Shabbos. It can never, ever be Shabbos. Can't be. And that's what the article's about. Why? She explains why. It's very good. And you see, she doesn't know this Svarm or anything. She's just saying her Svaras and her own experiences of keeping Shabbos. Because without the Kabbalah's Ol, without it being Kol, without Shabbos is a Bris. Kedusha Shabbos is Beinu Beinech. Bris to Bris. Oisi, Beinu Beinech. Shabbos is Kedusha Sisrael. A goyish shavas what? Chag misa. Goyish shavas chag misa. Shabbos is kudus abris. Is bris in the Shabbos. And she wrote a gevaldig article explaining how there's shum davar. It's very sweet, and maybe you'll feel, you know, it's good. It's like taking a special kind of bath with a good bubble bath, and to relax. And to listen to your favorite music, and to have a quiet, you know, some quiet. But she explains with her own svaras that she doesn't quote anything from. She might have said one thing she heard somebody quote the Talmud, but other than that, she doesn't. She doesn't seem to know anything or much. And she's just saying a svara. What Shabbos means to her as someone that's shomeres mitzvahs, and how that can never ever be by a secular person. just taking off from electronic, from technology for 24 hours. It's not the same thing. And she's totally right. And all along, when people tell me these things about, they have this thing about Shabbos, it's still good that they're doing that, because people will be able to have chiyus to be disconnected a little bit and spend time with their kids. It's for sure a good thing. And there's reason to promote that, because that's healthy, that people should have some time off from all of that. But to say it in one breath, ki'ilu, that's what Shabbos is. That Shmira Shabbos means, without any fish and chrein, and without Shmiras, and without the Baruch Shalom. And she quoted an article from another Jewish woman, who is big in pushing this Shabbat thing. A Jewish woman someplace was pushing this Shabbat thing, and she quoted from that woman who said that, you know, you could take off from this, you could take off from that, you could spend time with the kids, you could spend time like this and whatever, taking walks, and puts in parentheses, and if Torah is your thing, you know, you could do that too. If Torah and God, if you're into Torah and God, you could do that also. In other words, it's like a side thing that, oh, by the way, she's promoting Shabbos. And if that also, if you want also to bring God into Shabbos, and you like that, or Torah, you could do that. It's allowed, according to the rules of the secular Shabbat. It's allowed to bring in God and Torah into the secular Shabbat. And the writer, this Osgood, she said in a nice way, but she was saying, Benz, that the whole Shabbos is only because of the Baruch Shalom. It's a bris. You're not part of that bris. You're not part of the bris, and that's why the second that it's not working for you, or if your idea of having that relaxation is going to the ball game or going to the beach, even if it means having to go onto Waze to get to the ball game and get into the car and get into traffic, then Shabbat. Someone says, well, I thought you keep Shabbat, so why are you going in the car? You have to put on the Waze to get. Right now I'm going to die. Why are you trying to mess me up with this Shabbat thing? That was just an idea. It's nice, you know, whatever. But my kids want to go to the ball game with me. So the whole idea of the secular Shabbat was to spend time with my kids. My kids want to go to the ball game, so I have to get onto the highway. Either a million cars on the highway and I have to put on Waze, and I have to be on the phone with the Michal Shabbos. Michal Shabbos. Because it's not a bris. It's not a bris. Shabbos is a bris. The Psaltik is saying, therefore, when it comes to an Eni Yehudi, Mashkei Muli, Umas Olam, Nikrei Ma'arelem, Rasulam Afilu Nira Mugdar, even if it looks like this guy is keeping Shabbos, and he signed up on the thing for Shabbat across America, something, And he's gonna they're gonna be 100 million goyim that are gonna keep Shabbos next week. I don't know if they're gonna have a challah baking thing, but they're gonna keep Shabbos next week. 100 million goyim are gonna take out all the technology, and they're gonna make a Shabbos. Ena ela lefnim bepshitas tlafai. It's like a chazer holding out its fisalach. That's all. V'toychei eno kain. He's not saying that they're not nice people. He's not saying that they're not trying to be better. But the toich is not a bris. Kedushas Yisrael. No. V'chol kitrug amalek humitzad his galus delifnim. And this is the whole kitrug of amalek. Is to say what? Halalu v'halalu. What's he referring to? The Medrash says by Kriyas Yamsuf, halalu, but there are the Malach of Esav is saying, Halalo Oivde Kechava? Halalo Oivde Kechava, which means what? I don't see that this Jew behaves any differently than the guy. Not only that, I think the guy he's more of a mugdar, he's more of a mensch. And he's somebody that I see more holiness in, you know, Sister Teresa, she's a person that's holy. She's a holy person. She never even got married. She never even went out. Maybe she did. Not anybody talks about. So she's a kedusha. She's holy. And this Jew that I know, he does all of these things, and he does all these terrible things. So therefore, the kitrug of Amalek is always this kitrug. The kitrug is halalu oivdeichaham, halalu oivdeichaham. In other words, why should the Egyptians be drowned and the Jews be saved? What's the difference between them? Halalu, halalu. And then there's the Amalekan side of your head that tells you that. Because I've told you, didn't yet talk about what does it mean, Shmiras Abris? If a person, if a Jew, no matter what, is always a Nimol, right? If every Jew is Gemalt, Be'etzem, then what's Shmiras Abris? That's exactly what it is. It means Shmiras Abris. It means guarding that. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Guarding that reality. Believing in it and guarding that reality. Chokitru Gamalukum Mitzad is Galus Lefnim Halolo Halolo. B'loi Oid. Not only that, but Amalek thinks of it, thinks that he's better than the Jew. He thinks that he's better than the Jew. He thinks of himself as being a fine, sophisticated person, a very intelligent, refined person, and he sees this Jew as being somebody as a schlepper or a schnorrer. And not only is it halalu and halalu, he says I'm better. In other words, the Chazir says that I'm better than the Jew. Choshev atzma tov yoser. B'kein chet yisol oz haya kein. So when we learn the sugi of Purim and what happened in Shushan, which is the oasis of Sasan, which is the fight against Sasan. Shushan was the war against Sasan. Shushan is Pagam HaBris. It was the war against Sasan. Simcha. The Simcha of being Shema HaBris. Chet the Yisrael Oz Hayakain. K'may Shekos, K'may Shem B'Megillah, K'may Shem B'Megillah. Heim Lo Yoso El Lefnim. What does it mean? What happened? What's the Gemara talking about? Heim Lo Yoso El Lefnim. So the Gemara is talking about how there was a taina that the Jews were being oived Avodah Zarah, or they were bowing down to Haman, right? There's a whole question, was that Avodah Zarah, not Avodah Zarah, was he himself in Avodah Zarah, or was he wearing an Avodah Zarah? That's the shock of the taina. But the taina was against, there was a taina, a kitrig in Shemayim, against the Jews for bowing down to Haman. But the teretz is, that comes to us by way of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the teretz is that Allah also elifnim. That means what? They were faking. Lifnim means like the pun. They didn't really mean to bow down to Avodah Zarah. They were just scared. They were afraid it's going to be a whole shechita. So they did lifnim. They just wanted to. They were faking. They didn't really believe in it. Lifnim. It was just a show. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also elu lifnim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also made a show of there being the end of Am Yisrael, of all the Jews being killed. So the Gezeirah was sealed by Tabas HaMelech. And it looked like it was going to be the end of us. Minar v'adzaki and tafnos v'yamechad, it was going to be finished. And like I mentioned yesterday in the drasha from the ruptures to the fart, just kidding. That's what happened. By Purim. That's why Purim is such a happy day. Because the Baruch Shalom said, just kidding, I'm not killing you. That's what happened. Every man, woman, child, and Shushan, all 127 provinces are now going to be killed. And it was sealed with Tabas HaMelech. HaMelech is who? The big king. It was sealed with the Bas HaMelech. That every Jew is going to get killed. So then how come they weren't? It says in the Megillah, it's nechtem with the Bas HaMelech. It's not, it doesn't go back. Ein lahashiv, right? It says in the Megillah, ein lahashiv. Once something is sealed, ein lahashiv, you can't change the seal of the king. The teretz is, the whole thing took place, the whole Avodah Zarah that they did by bowing down to Haman was only lifnim. It wasn't sincere. And therefore, the gezeirah that Hashem made was also lifnim. It wasn't sincere. Meaning, it wasn't it. It was Tibi Ma'aras to do tshuva. But it wasn't it. Now, if you or I would go over with a microphone from NBC or CBC, whatever they are, and you go over and this guy is in Shushan, and you're asking him, "Do you believe in Avodah Zarah?" Yes, this Jew. Do you believe in Avodah Zarah? You're bowing at the Haman. Do you believe that you believe in him that he's a god or something, whatever it was, or his tzelem? Do you believe that there's a god like that? And this Jew is saying, 1,000%. I send my kids to the Haman University, and we go to the church of Haman, and I'm members of Haman's whole. I belong to Haman's church and everything like that, 100%. And I'm not one of these Jews that's just doing this. You know, I really mean this. I'm not just converting because of external pressure or because I'm afraid of genocide. I really believe in Haman. I really believe in this. And there were Jews that were saying that during World War II, that they put a yellow star on them just the same, the Nazis. And the Jews screaming, "I'm going to church. I've been taking my kids to church for the last 20 years. I go to church every Sunday." You could check, go ask over there in the church. You see that I'm a member of church. I go every Sunday for the last 20 years. And the Germans, Asaph says to the Jew, "What? Get over here." And he puts a yellow patch on him. He gets a yellow star. He knows something that this guy didn't know. And the Jew could have done the same thing to him. So he's standing there, and he's a whole polished person. He says he's got 10 degrees, this Nazi, from universities, and his boots are polished, and he's got a very nice outfit. And the Jew could put on him a picture of a chazer and say, "You're a chazer. You're a pig." The Teretz is, he's not really a guy, and this guy is really a pig. It doesn't look like that right now. This guy's screaming, "I go to church every Sunday. How could you do this to me? I hate Jews. I join when there are pogroms against Jews or boycotts against Jews. I was first online to boycott all the Jewish stores in Berlin. I was first online." And the Nazi says, "You say one more word, filthy Jew, I'm going to kill you." He says, "I'm not filthy. I went to the university. You know, I graduated first in my class with all my classmates were Germans. And I hate Jews. And I'm a very, very, I have a doctorate from the University of Hamburg, and I'm one of you guys." He says, "No, you're a filthy Jew. You're just a filthy Jew." So, notice he's telling you what your life is really about. You heard it from the mouth of the Chazer. The Nazi's telling you you're a Jew. That you're a Jew. That's why if somebody passes you on the street, if it happened to you, when you look very Jewish, it'll happen to you, and someone screams out "Kaika, Jew," or something like that from a car, you could say, "Ah." Notice you, my friend, should go over the next cliff and fall down the Sea of Laz also. But as far as I'm concerned, Shkoyach for reminding me, because I was just about to go onto my phone and look at something I shouldn't look at. And you screamed out "filthy kike," or "blanking Jew." Shkoyach. You know, you saved me from big aveira, because you reminded me, I'm Takayid. And who are you? Asir Lazozel. Off the highway, down the cliff. Asir Lazozel. That's the end of it. That's the Sof HaSipur. It's the whole story. That's what Tzadik is saying. The whole thing is a show. But Jews are screaming, "I believe in this." Get out of here. You don't believe in it. I do believe in it. And therefore, when you find the Jew that says, "I don't believe in anything," never ever believe that person. It's absolutely not true. And you're going to see that you put a pair of tefillin on him, he starts to cry. "I thought you don't believe in anything." Just for a moment, I lost it. For a moment, you got it. You didn't lose it. You got it. It's Etzem Achai. You can't do away with it. We just didn't get deep enough into this Jew to get to that place. But it's the Etzem Achai of Eid, who he is. All right, Mishnah will continue up to